Our scripture lesson for today comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, and then 11 through 32. So I want you to hear now the words of Christ. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me me the share of the property that belongs to me.' So he divided his property between them. And a few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to put his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry, and he refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So this morning, I know that this is a familiar scripture because y'all have been at church for more than 5 minutes, right? Like, you know the prodigal son. And in fact, I have this thing where I highlight when I preach a scripture and I write the date on it. So I happen to know that on July 18th of last year, I preached on this same scripture, okay? So here's the deal, though. The prodigal son is one of those passages that that continues to grab us and get us in different ways depending on where we are in our life. Right? When I heard this story as a child, I identified with the older brother. I said, "That's not fair, right? This guy went out and he wasted all the money. He comes back and the older brother's been doing what was right. He was the good kid, right?" And maybe it's an older child thing. I don't know. I don't think my sister watches these videos. So maybe it's an older child thing. But I think you get this idea that, hey, I'm a rule follower. I did what was supposed to be done. And I want everybody else to do the same thing. And dadgummit, when they don't do it, I get upset. Right? I've learned this about myself. My wife and I are both, I guess, aggressive rule followers. Okay, so if you might be an aggressive rule follower too, if you get annoyed when somebody doesn't stop before they turn right on red at the stoplight. Now, it may not do anything to you, okay, Or you may get annoyed when you find, you know, that person at work who, you know, you've been doing it the right way, but they're skipping out a couple minutes early or whatever, right? It gets really on your nerves, right? You may be somebody who says, but this is the rule, right? It's not fair that you get to do this thing. I used to identify with the older brother, and still to a certain extent I feel a little bit like the older brother. And then, you know, I got a little older and I said, wow, you know, really, maybe I'm the younger brother, the one who runs off and seeks his own fortune and does all this silly stuff and then comes back to the father. I don't know what I was doing. I was crazy. I'm not worthy to be your son. And I thought, you know what? Maybe I'm none of those. I know I'm not the father, but how can I be more like the father? And that's kind of where I am now. And that's what I want to talk to you this morning about, is how can we be more like the Father in this story. And the Jesus's parables, sometimes they're a little confusing and sometimes they're frustrating. This one's not all that hard to understand, is it? Right? Pretty much any time there's a story that Jesus tells and there's a father, who's the father? God, right? Right? This is one of those Sunday school or children's time questions, right? Jesus or God is the answer, right? And in this case, if there's a father, it's probably God. And so when we look at this, well who can be the younger son? Well, the younger son could be all kinds of people. Individually, it can be you and me, right? When we choose to waste what God has given us, whether that's our gifts, whether that's our hearts and our minds and our souls, whether that's the blessing that God has given us as children of God, right? But I'm sure that the disciples heard this and they interpreted it as them as the people of God, as the Israelites, right? Gone off and chosen something else other than God, and then God welcoming them back. What a wonderful image. And yet, what we find time and time again in our lives is that we haven't learned the lesson of the parable of the prodigal son. I think too often we have put ourselves as the prodigal, the one who goes off and makes mistakes. And don't get me wrong, we are all good at making mistakes, right? Like, that's one thing I know I'm good at. I can make the wrong decision. I can react in a situation the wrong way. Do you ever find yourself getting ready to go to bed at night and you're thinking, I had said I was going to do better today. I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't going to yell. I wasn't going to this. I wasn't going to that. And what I do? I did the same darn thing, right? And I'm really good at that, okay? I'm really good at messing up, and I think we all are. And so we say, oh, how wonderful that God welcomes us back, and we all want to be welcomed back, don't we, right? We all want to say, hey, even if I mess up, I've got that safety net. And I hope that you've all had that example in your lives. Maybe it's a parent of a place that you can go home to, right? If you make the bad grade in school, you can still go home and they're going to love you and they're going to give you a hug. You can lose the home, you can lose the house, and you get your wife leaves you and your dog leaves you and your car truck's broke down. Like, you can get in a country song and they're still going to welcome you home, right? That's what we all need from our family, right? Now, the tragedy is not everybody has that, right? And I can tell you, one of the things that breaks my heart the most in both of my jobs, but I see it much more at the college, is students, young people, who aren't sure that if they go home that they'll be welcomed back like the father in the story, right? Parents who cling to an interpretation of scriptures that excludes certain people. Parents who have made their own mistakes and aren't ready to really live as someone who takes care of a young person. Parents who have latched on to a mistake a student has made or a young person has made and have said, nope, not gonna forgive you for that. And then those folks, they don't know where they're gonna go if things don't work out, right? And I think what a tragedy it is. Not just for the young person, right? Because one of the things that we can all do, and one thing I encourage you and I encourage the young folks in the church, I encourage those folks, those kids in the confirmation class to do, is find your family, right? Family is more than just the blood that you share, right? anybody who's adopted or has fostered children or been a teacher knows that, right? You can have a son or a daughter, and you weren't there when they were put in that crib for the first time. And yet, that can be the mom or the dad or the granny or the grandpa or the aunt or the uncle that makes the difference for them. And that's a wonderful thing. But what if we were so determined that there would never be a prodigal and the older brother who feel that they haven't earned the love of their parent? What if we said, I'm going to live as closely to the example of the father in this prodigal son story as I can, and I don't care how people look at me. I don't even care what happened. I'm going to love this child who maybe sprung forth from my loins, or maybe this child that I encountered in a classroom or in a social services office or something like that. What if we said we're going to pay attention to that? Because I think of this story, and I think of this son who has wandered off, right? He had a bad moment with his dad, right? He was fed up, and he was tired, and he said, I want to start my life, and I'm stuck. And dad, and he's mad, and he's, Dad, I wish you were dead. I want my money. I want to start my life. And dad has every right to be mad. Maybe he got mad. I don't know. It doesn't tell us. It just tells us that he gave the son his money and said, go. I would have been mad. And the son leaves. And like no one could have predicted, he wastes the money. We don't know what he wasted on. The older brother thinks he wasted it on hookers and beer, but we don't know what he uses it on. Okay, but dissolute living. For all we know, he put it all into, you know, Dogecoin and lost it, okay? But he goes out and he loses this birthright, this wonderful safety net that he was going to have, gone. Because he wasn't good at it, okay? And then he finds himself serving the pigs. And it kind of serves him right, right? He's kind of acted like a pig. He was a jerk to his dad. There's no question about that, right? And he finds himself there, and he comes to his senses, and he says, oh my goodness, what am I doing feeding these pigs? I'm starving. My dad's servants have it better than I do. But think of the courage that it took him to go back home. Knowing how badly he had hurt his father. Knowing that in his father's place, he wouldn't want to forgive him. Knowing that he was going to have to go back home and admit that he was a failure. And that he was wrong. But he has that courage, right? He goes home. Now, he isn't being quick about it, right? While he's still far away and looking down and downcast, and father, I've sinned against God and you, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. And he's rehearsing it. And then suddenly, dad runs into him, right? Because he's not looking up, but his dad was looking, right? Dad was watching. The father was perched on the porch of the house, neglecting the work that had to be done, so the older brother had to work more because he wanted to see his son coming over that hill. And imagine how many times the father had prayed, just let him come back. I don't care what happened. I don't care all that. It's under the bridge. I want my son back. And when he sees his son, he runs to him. And that's not dignified. That is not cool. That's not what the dad should be doing. He's the head of the household. He's strong. He's this. No, he runs to the son. And he says, give him my best robe. Give him this ring. Let's kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party. I'm so happy. My son is back. That took courage too. Think about how the other people in the village are going to be looking at that dad. Yeah, there's that dad. Couldn't raise him good enough to not be off there with the prostitutes in the big city. Now he welcomes him back. He's got him another trust fund baby over there, right? They're going to be talking behind their hands about the father, right? He doesn't care. Because what matters most is his son is back, and he has his son. This is why it hurts so much to see young people estranged from their parents, right? I can remember back at my first church, we came back from a vacation, and we got back at like 3 in the morning. And we're pulling into this town, little town in the mountains. And we're like, why is there a roving gang of teenagers running down the main street at like 3:30 in the morning? And we asked some people in the church, and they said, oh, well, there's a certain group of parents in this town that if they don't agree with the decisions their kids make, they kick them out of the house when they turn 18 and say, figure it out. And so that's what was happening. You had all these kids, and yeah, I know they're adults, but they didn't know what to do in life, right? They were like this prodigal son. He had all this money, and he threw it away, right? They didn't know what to do with themselves, or they wouldn't have been out at 3:30 in the morning, right? And the parents had clung to something that they were very passionate about over the good of their children. And I wonder how many times we do this in our own lives. How many relationships have we allowed to falter and to go away because we were convinced that we were right? How many times have we allowed something good, like the scripture is good, and sometimes we look at the Bible and we say, it says X on page 37, and dadgummit, that's what I believe, and my kid said the other thing, so get out. And yet, the scripture also has the father of the prodigal son, right? Who says, I'm welcoming you back. I don't care that you screwed up. I love you. You are mine. And we all want that from God. But then we don't always extend that to the people in our lives. It is hard to make that forgiveness, isn't it? It takes courage. And what I want to say to those folks who are estranged from loved ones, who have allowed whatever conflict it was to keep them apart, I want to say, would you rather have a child with whom you disagree? Would you rather have a father who thinks poorly of you? Would you rather have an uncle who has done something you disagree with? Or would you rather not have one at all? I would rather have the one where we disagree a little bit, right? I would rather have that relationship, even if I don't approve of everything, right? This doesn't say the father is like, hey, son, great job squandering all of your inheritance. He just loves him. And he's just so thrilled to have him back that he throws himself on his son. And so lastly, what this scripture takes is the courage of the older brother. The courage to give up on being right all the time. The courage to walk into the party and know that you might be the stick in the mud. You might be the one who stayed back and didn't have the fun stories that ended in trying to eat food out of a pig trough, okay? But you didn't go off to the city. You didn't do all this. You were the good kid. And yeah, to remember that everything the Father has belongs to you. What if we applied that courage, right? If he doesn't have the courage to go in that door, the story ends before we know if he actually goes to the party, right? He says he's not going to, but we don't know, right? The only thing that is causing him by saying, I'm not going into the party, it's causing him to miss the celebration. And that was his brother too, right? They grew up together. They played together, they worked together, they talked about their future together, and just because it didn't happen the way that he expected, it doesn't mean that's not his brother, right? And so it takes courage for him to go in that door and repair that relationship. What if we applied that courage, the courage of the son to admit when he was wrong, the father to forgive and to come running to the one who has been lost, and then the older brother to let it go? What if we applied that to our own families? What if we applied that to our churches? What if we said, I don't care that you did this and you ran off and you made me mad or you fought with me on this committee or this, that, and the other, right? I had a church, I served a church where they broke up over a dumpster, okay? One church wanted to put a dumpster out back of the church, and the other part said no, and so they left and started their own church. Now, did they ever read the parable of the prodigal son? And they're still apart over a place to toss trash. We are so poor at forgiving one another. And yet we have so many riches from the Father. Amen. What if we realized that when I give forgiveness to somebody else, it's not like cake. I'm not losing forgiveness myself. What if we did that in our churches? What if we did that in our politics? What if we did that in our criminal justice? What if we did that in our schools? What if we did that in our foreign policy? What might our world look like? Who knows? I know we don't. But what if? What if we looked at our brothers and said, I know that we've had our differences, but I want to be in that party with you because I love you. What if we had the courage to admit when we're wrong, to love those who have wronged us, and to give up on always being the one who's perfect? Imagine what a world this could be. Because here's the thing. Just like I have looked at the parable of the prodigal son differently over the years of my life, I've been the different characters, and so have you. There's somebody out there who needs to be reconciled, who you need to be reconciled to, and that it takes the guts to go and to ask that forgiveness. Amen. There's somebody out there who needs to be reconciled to you, and it bothers them, and in the late night when they're about to go to sleep, they have this twang, and they think, remember when I did that? But they're ashamed, and they're unwilling to go and to make that step. What if you were like the Father and you ran to them, knowing that it didn't matter what happened, that they're your brother, they're your sister? What if we did that? How much closer might we be to the Father? Amen. The Father who has done that with me and you and you and you and you. Amen?